5G is the next big thing in wireless technology and communication, and it's already causing a lot of confusion. 5G sounds awesome. It's super fast and it's straight out of the future. But we also keep hearing about opposition to it. There are a lot of conspiracy theories, of course, that it spreads COVID and things like that, which are not true. But we also keep hearing about governments and leaders opposing it on health grounds. Of course, there are others who have opinions too. Recently, we heard that the actress Juhi Chawla filed a plea in the Delhi High Court against 5G for threats of radiation. And what she says is that 5G radio frequency radiation levels are 10 to 100 times greater than what exists today. And this could have irreversible effects on humans and ecosystems. Is all that true? Is that even partly true? Let's find out. Today, we're going to talk all about 5G. What is 5G? What does the 5 and the G mean? How does it work? What is new about the technology? Which part of the electromagnetic spectrum it uses? What problems it poses? If there are any health risks? And what the scientific data shows? I'm Sandhya Ramesh and this is Pure Science. What is 5G? 5G is the fifth generation of wireless networks, and the reason we're all so excited about it is because it offers really high speeds and capacity. There is a popular CNBC clip that goes around whenever someone talks about 5G, and it explains how fast 5G is. And in the video, Tom Chitty explains that to download a 2-hour movie on 3G, you take 26 hours. On 4G, it would take 6 minutes. And on 5G, it would take 3.5 seconds. Some places have already adopted and rolled out 5G in certain locations, and speed tests in these places just show insane numbers. There's another video by tech YouTuber Marcus Brownlee that I'll also link below, where he tests 5G speeds and they hit a crazy 1000 megabits per second and go even over that. And it's a really nice glimpse into a very bright technological future. Work into developing a fifth generation of wireless communications technology began in about 2008, mainly at NASA, but also independently and simultaneously in other places. A year after I graduated from NYU, the university set up NYU Wireless in 2012 for testing and 5G research. Samsung, Nippon, Huawei, LG all have done work on the tech. Some cities in South Korea adopted 5G technology first in the world for public use 2 years ago, and on the very same day, Verizon in US also launched 5G publicly. Today, there are operational 5G networks in pockets in various countries around the globe. So how do we get 5G to hit those really high speeds and transmit in gigabits per second? 5G uses something called millimeter waves for communication, which haven't been used for this purpose before. And we'll discuss that in detail in a little bit. But basically, it uses an additional part of the electromagnetic spectrum, and the signals travel faster. To understand this, let's actually take a look at the electromagnetic spectrum, specifically the microwave part. The band that 5G uses is divided into three. Low band 5G uses similar frequencies as 4G and our regular cell phones, about 600 to 850 megahertz, that's the frequency. Mid band 5G uses microwaves of about 2.5 to 3.7 gigahertz and can give speeds of almost 900 megabits per second. This mid band 5G is the one that seems to be implemented in several places where 5G has currently been already rolled out. But the newer part of the spectrum that it uses, called the high band microwave, uses frequencies of 25 to 39 gigahertz, which is in what we call the millimeter wave band. This gets us speeds in gigabits per second range. One major disadvantage with using millimeter waves is that they have high energy and frequency but low range. They are easily limited and they can be impeded by things like buildings or walls or even trees. In the Marcus Brownlee video, if you watch, you'd see that just as he turns around a building, his 5G speed drops tremendously. These speeds can also be affected and impeded by rain in the millimeter wave. So while we can get really high speeds, we need to be directly in the line of sight of a 5G node and also be physically close to it. Moving mere feet away from the node lowers speeds. How can we then possibly achieve a wide coverage? 5G comes with its own infrastructural setup. First, 5G cannot be achieved by a mere software upgrade because it uses a whole new band. The hardware physically should be compatible. So a 5G device or cell phone with a 5G radio transmitter and receiver is required. The infrastructure network will have to consist of different types of hubs or nodes called cells. 5G nodes have very limited coverage area. So ideally, the network would have small cells. That's what these nodes are called. These small cells everywhere, every 10 to 100 meters or so. These cells will provide the high band fast network. They can be femtocells or picocells, which reach about 10 meters or 200 meters in range respectively. There are also microcells that can reach about 2 kilometers in range. These small cells, which will connect smaller places like houses and small public locations, will all then communicate with macro cells. These macro cells, which are sort of like central hubs, will use mid and low bands and do the long range transmission. The concept of using small cells for communications isn't new, but imagine 5G small cells everywhere all around you when you walk around. The potential geographical flooding of 5G small cells is of course going to be expensive and time consuming, but it also comes with other concerns. First is that of privacy. Depending on who is making the hardware for all this infrastructure and who is going to be running the network. For example, Huawei is a leader in the field and Trump put in place the Huawei ban. There are fears that China could end up spying on users using these 5G nodes. Then there are health concerns. Small cells for faster speeds use bandwidths that haven't been used before and they can be directional. So people are concerned about their safety. To understand how 5G works, we have to look at some elementary physics. This is the electromagnetic spectrum. We're all familiar with this. What does the scale represent? It simply shows all electromagnetic radiation all around us and their properties. These are everywhere. We call this radiation energy, but of course it's made up of light particles that are traveling at certain speeds. So radiation hitting us is actually photons hitting us at specific frequencies. When these photons are visible to us, they make up the visible light part of the spectrum. Visible light is at the center and you have higher frequency radiation on the right and lower frequency radiation on the left. Any radiation that is to the right is called ionizing radiation. These are higher frequency radiation than visible light. They're called ionizing because these electromagnetic waves have enough energy or a high enough frequency to hit a molecule or an atom and dislodge an electron from the atom. So when they hit our skin or our DNA, they have so much energy that they can actually cause damage at a cellular level or to the DNA. These waves that can cause damage are the ultraviolet, X-rays and gamma rays, and these are the ones that are more dangerous and which can cause cancer, etc. Nothing below visible light is ionizing. All of that is non-ionizing. There's another Pure Science video on the risks of radiation from ionizing radiation such as X-rays and CT scans that will also be linked below. Why is non-ionizing radiation called non-ionizing radiation? Because it doesn't have enough energy to dislodge electrons from atoms. Therefore, non-ionizing radiation is not capable of damaging our skin or our bodies at a cellular or DNA level. But DNA damage and cancer risk is not the only effects of radiation on the body. These kind of waves also carry energy. Below visible light, of course, we have all kinds of laser first, and then we have infrared, microwaves, and radio waves. The lowest frequency waves are radio waves and then followed by microwaves, and we've used these for communication. Radio, of course, and we've had generations of use of this. And one of the reasons radio is so effective is because low frequency waves tend to have longer wavelengths, so they can transmit longer also. Higher frequency waves tend to transmit shorter and lose energy faster. Microwaves, which are simply high frequency radio waves, have also been used for communication. It is used well, especially for point-to-point communications, and is used for television broadcasting, for radars, for astronomy, for our cell phone use, and so on. Now, 5G uses a part of the microwave and radio waves. These frequencies are already divided into very imaginative categories. These categories go from extremely low frequency to super low frequency, ultra low, very low, low, medium, high, very high frequency, super high, and extremely high frequency. These frequencies are measured in hertz and their corresponding wavelengths in units of distance. So when we say millimeter waves, we are concerned with waves that are traveling in wavelengths of millimeters and not in meters or kilometers. Those are slower. Millimeter waves are smaller than 1 millimeter in their wavelength and have a higher frequency. So on the spectrum, they're closer to infrared. The frequency range of what is described as millimeter waves is from 30 gigahertz to 300 gigahertz. 5G for high band uses 25 to 39 gigahertz, and we've never had cell phones we stick to our ears that are transmitting and receiving at these frequencies before. So that brings us to the health concerns. We can see that high frequencies are closer to infrared, and we know that infrared can warm us. It carries heat. How does heat transfer? We've studied this in school. There's conduction, convection, and radiation. Conduction and convection require matter. They occur in solids and fluids, but radiation travels through vacuum. In fact, that's how energy from the sun reaches us, in the form of solar radiation. And half of all of solar radiation is actually infrared. The rest of it is visible light and UV and all of that. When all this energy reaches Earth, all the heat is absorbed by the earth and atmospheric gases, and then the conduction and convection processes occur in our climatic and geological systems. This is not to say that because infrared is hot, it's harmful. Infrared technology is not dangerous. We do use infrared in tech. This includes use of infrared in cosmetic science to treat skin. But what many now are concerned is that there haven't been any long-term studies of risk of heat damage to tissues using these frequencies for communication. So when people say that 5G radiation is not well studied for mobile networks, they are technically not wrong. There haven't been many rigorous studies done for millimeter waves going directionally into your ear over periods of times. These waves do scatter on the upper layer of the skin, but there's limited data on long-term cumulative exposure, which is how we measure radiation exposure. This is what people mean when they say there are health concerns from radiation risk from 5G. Not DNA damage and cancer, but heating of tissue. Even the WHO on its website says only a few studies have been carried out at the frequencies to be used by 5G. And it says that tissue heating is the main mechanism of interaction between radio frequency fields and the human body. But the band that 5G uses is still very, very far away from infrared. It is in fact closer to 4G. At the end of the day, the scientific consensus is that 5G is safe. And this is because we do have studies and data globally on the effects of radiation effects of the entire spectrum. Two international bodies produce exposure guidelines on electromagnetic fields. The International Commission on Non-Ionizing Radiation Protection is one, and the other is the International Committee on Electromagnetic Safety. They cover all radio frequencies going up to 300 gigahertz, including all of the frequencies that are under consideration for 5G. Both these bodies, as well as multiple radiation watchdogs around the world globally, have cleared 5G frequencies for use and have called them safe. WHO meanwhile says that it will continue to conduct health risk assessments and it will publish a report in 2020. But overall, experts have assured that it is safe. While full implementation of 5G is actually likely a few years away, we can be reassured that whenever it comes, it will be safe for use, at least according to the data we have right now and our understanding of physics and the data that we would have at that point.